Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Wake up in the morning feeling like
Waterman is extremely well. She's very slippery.
You don't own me.
Okay, now the tough question.
Is this a try? Yes or no?
Just because I'm a woman.
I just feel like I might start the pod with that, considering that we're in record. So I might just start with you singing. Welcome, friends. We are back in your inboxes of your podcast app. I know what you're thinking. Pithy start to this week's pod, girls. You have to prepare this intro. How are you, my friend?
Why don't you start singing? It's Six Nations week. That's what I'm kind of feeling like it's going to come from you. Oh, thanks. Just sorting a few things out in my life. But it's Six Nations week, which I can't believe I am saying before you.
I know. I'm just trying to keep a lid on it a little bit because I can get overexcited. Obviously, for Wales, it's a Sunday game, so I don't want to peak too early in the week. But I am excited. I feel like I probably can't read one more tweet that says, doesn't feel like a Six Nations week from a journalist. I think we've got the memo now. It doesn't feel like a normal Six Nations week. I think we've established that. That has been said. That's been done. I don't need to see or hear that anymore. But do you know what? I feel like you make it what you want it to be. And if you want it to feel like a big match weekend and, you know, you're going to watch it at home on the sofa, granted, you're not going to be able to watch it with friends, but stick Zoom on. Do that in the background. You know, if you want to have that interaction with your mates. Personally, I'm quite looking forward to not having other people around and just chilling out a little bit and probably have a little spread, a couple of beers, you know.
What type of spread?
I'll go charcuterie. Standard. Don't you ask. If you ask a question, I'm going to answer you. I'll probably get the...
I didn't know what type of spread it was. That was all.
Well, charcuterie meats. Then I'll get the Plant Kitchen cauliflower bites from Marks and Spencer's. A good crisp. Something ridged and a hummus.
What about to drink?
Guinness, obviously. It's the Guinness Six Nations. What, you know, Guinness and then a squash at halftime just to rehydrate.
Good to hear. You know what? I'm actually, Six Nations in this time of the year is always an interesting one because it normally kicks off with fitness testing in January. So yeah. It's like, and then it's like really cold camps, couple of club games where you're panicking that if you pick up a knock, you might not make the Six Nations. So January, and throw in my birthday, my mum's birthday and my dad's birthday. It's normally a thrilling month. So to finally get through to February, I'm still in the, yeah, it's an odd one, but... I'm actually really looking forward to this weekend because I haven't commentated since before Christmas because the two Champions Cup games were postponed. And I'm obviously back with Miles, who is just delicious.
Yeah.
But I'm in the commentary box for David Bloody Flatman.
You will be socially distanced, just if anyone's a bit concerned about the commentary box. It will be a socially distanced commentary box.
I mean, yeah, we don't stand in a phone box and commentate. it's going to be done from over here because of the travel restrictions with Italy v France. But I'm actually also, I think it's a, I actually think when you look at the lineups of the games, and we'll go into them in a lot of detail. I actually think this is one of the most exciting weekends of games, just because of the matchup.
Yeah, I hate a Sunday game. I hate a Sunday game. I do feel like that has certainly put a dampener on things for me for opening weekend. I know that they don't think about how I feel when
it's not like you. Matches. It's not like you've got a big Saturday night.
No, I can't now, can I? Because I'm working on Sunday. So, you know, I would enjoy the opening matches, the Garibaldi Trophy and the Calcutta Cup, because that's what Italy France play for, and that's of course what England Scotland play for. The 150th year of that. But will I enjoy, you know, Sunday as much because I've had to keep my powder damp? I'm not going to say dry because it's not going to be dry. But yeah, I just don't feel like they thought about me. and I'm just, you know, I just want to put that out there because, you know, we know that Six Nations chiefs listen to this podcast. But yeah, I just... if there's any dampener on it all, that's it for me. But perhaps to bring us back from that, maybe you want to give us your pause for positivity for the week, and maybe that's going to cheer me up and brighten me up, Danielle Sharn Waterman.
So as those that have seen on our social media channels, we were guests as a duo, first ever guests on someone else's show, which is very odd. You're going to have to correct me because I ashamedly don't know how to say Jeanette's surname properly. So Jeanette Kouachi, we joined her on BBC London to promote the pod. Jeanette, I've known for years through Athlete Mental Work. She is just a wonderful, wonderful woman doing awesome stuff in the media now, and also came up with an amazing idea to promote other women's podcasts and other women's sport podcasts. I'm just going to keep saying but it was brilliant and it was really good fun, and it was really interesting for me. I'll get to my course positivity in a minute. To witness you being interviewed, it was really odd. I to the point where I was like, I wonder how she's going to be, because is she going to reply with a question?
What kind of question?
Hey, see what you did there. So anyway, my pause for positivity is nothing to do with the fact that we joined Jeanette, but Jeanette posted a video of her son saying hello in all different languages from around the world. He's 5 years old. It is honestly one of the best videos. She said it took a solid, I think, what did she say, 10 days to edit?
I mean, setting up a green screen in your house for your child's homeschooling project is another level of effort. And I can only imagine how much the parents of the children in his class hate her now. But oh my God, he is an absolute sensation.
There you are. If you want to stop and have just a real giggle and smile. But yeah, and also the fact that she is absolutely smashed homeschooling. But if you've got those types of skills, think about utilizing them for your kids' homeschooling.
So the show was on BBC Radio London on Saturday. You can listen to it again on the BBC Sounds app if you did want to hear it. I listened to it in my edit suite because I couldn't really remember what we'd said and I was a little bit concerned. And my editor, Gary, was like, because I put my headphones on and he went, oh no, I'd quite like to listen to it as well, LJ. Go on, put it on. And I was like, oh, okay. A little bit worried because, again, I could not remember what we'd said. And I literally turned it on as Nolly went, under her boobs. That was the first line that he heard. And I was like, oh. And Gary looked at me like, what are we listening
to? Yeah.
I was like, whose boobs? I was like, my boobs, Gary, my boobs.
So we revealed a new story on there. So I'm not going to talk about the story because I feel like there was a moment where our friendship was consummated in a in a building in Bondi.
Hey, we told this story on the first ever Try Hards podcast.
Oh, did we? Oh, I thought we just
talked about how my dad found out that I have a tattoo in that intimate area and was very angry about it. So, yeah, if you want to hear it, you can either listen to that on BBC Sounds or you can, of course, go to season one, episode one of the Try Hards podcast.
We've had some new listeners. So welcome to the Try Hards.
Welcome.
Yeah. Please make sure you're subscribing. Please make sure you're saying that we are no less than 5 stars. And put it out on your socials. If there's anything that you would like us to discuss, put it out there. We talk about anything normally. So
I'm going to have a little bit of a charity corner at the end of the podcast each week, because we know that a lot of people are doing lots of really amazing things at the moment. So we want to share that. So we're going to save that to the end, but it's your opportunity to get involved in that as well. I'm going to do my Try Hards top tip. By this point, I hope that everybody has signed up to this year's Doddy Gump. And I know that the snoods finally went out in the post this week. They'd been held up. Though, let's be honest, nobody is taking part in this for their snood. They're taking part in it because we all just love Doddy so much. Now, the snood is traditionally worn around the neck. Today, I've been using it as like a kind of hair tube. And I've just worn it like an elongated hairband that covers my whole head, like almost a windsock for an awful hair day. So my top tip is, if you haven't already ordered your Doddy snood, get on and do it now. And then when it arrives, you can use it as a stylish hair sock. So there you go. That's my top tip this week.
I feel like you'd look like a felt tip pen.
I know nobody at home can see, but.
Oh, wow. Wow.
It looks really good.
You know who you look like?
Steve Rouse, the cameraman.
Yes. Phil, yep.
You don't know who Steve Rouse the cameraman is, he'll be running along the touchline at Twickenham on Saturday
with odd socks on,
with odd socks on, a sock and routine.
Alex Corbusiero England shorts, normally a combat short, likes those. You know what it actually does, which I never thought was possible,
makes it your eyes look bigger. I'm shocked that's right. Where you've gone with that.
So I'm gonna just sneak in and say, great top tip, Laura Jane. But I actually feel like we've started a new competition, and as one of the winner of last year's Guinness Legends League, you actually should talk us through the match point competition that we are running for Try Hards, and obviously just on the app, it's not just a Try Hards thing. And give some people some top tips on how to be successful, because you smashed all of us on the Legends League.
I did. I mean, I'm a humble person, like let's all be honest. I don't like to shout about my achievements because they are few. But yeah, we are back on match point this Six Nations. As I'm sure you can imagine, we are absolute nauseous for this game. We do it because we actually really enjoy it, and it just brings another level of fun to the weekend. So we are back on Matchpoint, and you can of course join the Try Hards League, as you can every time, with the league pin Try Hards. We have prizes to give out throughout. The winner of the overall Try Hards League at the end of the competition will win a pair of tickets to the home fixture of their choice in next year's Six Nations. So if you want to go to England, Wales next year, and you win this league, 2 tickets.
The men's Six Nations.
The men's Six Nations. We also have plenty of women's 2022 Six Nations tickets to give away. We have spot prizes, Guinness
Bomber
jackets, for each round.
You know what?
And there'll be some socks thrown in too.
And maybe a water bottle.
I do take it seriously, and I'm not ashamed of that. So generally I start the week with kind of like a little bit of a weather rundown. I'll look at the humidity on match day at each of those venues for games. Just because I know that can have a profound impact on the psychology of teams. I read a study last year on the impact of humidity, the inner ear, and the first half of rugby matches done by Bath University. So I bookmarked it, and I can probably share that. Luckily for me, because obviously worked in the game for quite a while, I've I've got the contact details of the groundsman at each of the stadiums. So I will just put a call in to find out what grass length we're looking at. I know at the Principality this weekend, it's a new pitch. It's a brand new pitch that's been put down. And I've got some friends who work in horticultural sports studies who will just evaluate that data for me. Again, with my phone, I like to kind of not spend too much time on the phone because they're obviously a huge kind of correlations between electronics on the brain before you go to bed. So I try and limit my screen time to less than 45 minutes a day on my phone in the run up to making predictions.
That is absolutely not true, ever true, that one.
My advice is the same every year. You have to go head over heart.
And you know what? The only reason you say that is because last year Wales didn't do very well, and this year it's not looking like the best. Let's start with Wales, because it's your reason.
You've got a bad team overnight, and this is why you make me so angry.
Okay.
We've had lean years before and won Six Nations titles the year after. Talupe Faletau is one of the best players in the world ever, and he is back and he's on form for Bath, and he's going to bring that form for Wales. Yes, Josh Adams has been a very silly boy and will now miss the opening two rounds, but you know, there's a car purring in our garage and the license plate says LRZ. Lewis Rees-Zammit is going to score three tries against Ireland on Sunday, and yeah, boom.
Did you see the Bristol Bath score?
Yeah, but there's no iron team, and there's no...
You know what? He is a very, very good player. And when he's on form, he is on form. I am fascinated by how they get on back at the Principality. Will that make a difference? I think so. Yeah, it is a different... Even though there's no crowd, there's still a different atmosphere in stadiums to an extent.
Do you think, and I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, but from the perspective of when you've played for England at Twickenham, there haven't been 80,000 fans in the stands, but do you feed off the fact that it is a cathedral of rugby with loads of history that goes with it? Can you almost picture in your head, you know how special it is, and you almost up your game, regardless of whether there's 20 people, 20,000 people, or 80,000 people, it still breeds something in you as a player?
I think it's more like all of the build-up before the game, so like doing your team run there, you know, and it's like, right, this place is special. When you pull up at the gates and you're in the kind of bowels of the stadium, and you know, we've trained there in the gym, and I've been in physio there and stuff, but there's always something special about being pitch side and going through the tunnel, and then you know, and you set the kind of atmosphere through the music you listen to. Like I always had certain songs, or like a little bit of Annie Lennox, maybe Kelly Clarkson, Five. That was always a good one. Like that one, little bit of a dance around the changing rooms. So I think it's weird because it's all of the build up, and yeah, there's normally like this atmosphere rumbling around the stadiums and stuff. So it is different, and I'm sure the boys will find it weird, but like I say, being there for team run, there's never normally people there, you know, going into the stadium and going out. But then once you're playing and you don't really notice it unless you are in front of a big crowd. Yeah. And when I have played in front of big crowds, it's special. I think that's probably the most disappointing thing, isn't it, really, for all these people that are, you know, at the end or at the start, or just like playing some epic rugby, they're just missing that, like, you know, that buzz from a crowd.
On Sunday on Scrum 5, Mike Phillips said that the Principality Stadium, Millennium Stadium as was then, is worth 10 points to a team. And he talked about the iconic try that he had scored against Ireland 10 years ago this year, and how he was actually quite embarrassed about the fact he'd celebrated it like he'd won the World Cup. But it was that feeding off the energy of a crowd in your home stadium. So I do worry that certainly Wales is too... traditionally toughest games of the past kind of 20 years are this year the home games, and where you'd kind of, we always play all the Blues away or all the Blues at home, and in those years where it's all the Blues away, the two games at home that home crowd makes a massive difference. England can come as the form team, you know, that 33 drubbing, nobody saw that. It was a, you know, can Wales win this by 7 points to claim the title? And they did it, you know, with aplomb. So I do think that, I do subscribe to the fact that the stadium must have a positive impact. You wonder if without a crowd, it can still do that. And I wonder if, in fact, players have even had a psychologist into camp this week to talk to them about how they can try and achieve that and how they can take that onto the field, this knowledge of what that stadium means to themselves as players and people at home. So I'd be interested to know if across the Six Nations, if any teams have addressed that with players about how you can still maintain the specialness of not just the occasion, but the ground.
Yeah, I think it was different, obviously, for Wales and the Autumn Nations Cup and the end of the Six Nations last, what, November, December time, because they were in Llanelli, so it was a completely different place again. So I think it is different for them to come back. Just going on how they're playing, I think Josh Adams will be massive loss this weekend. Actually, from a defensive perspective, Wales did some really good stuff on their goal line, real dogged work. But actually, and towards the end of the Autumn Nations Cup, some of their basic skills I was really impressed with. And I was really impressed with Lewis Rees-Summit just from a real solid performance perspective, but it was against Georgia and then Italy. So it is very different to come up against Ireland, who have been like a bit of a mixed bag, haven't they, with Pro 14 in terms of just different performances, like all of the teams, all of the main teams losing. I wouldn't have seen Leinster losing for sure. I think it's going to be a good game. I really hope it's not like a stalemate type of game. I feel like, you know, like kicking to the corners and living off penalties and that type of thing. It'd be nice if they opened it up. But
at the point that we're recording this pod, there aren't teams named for the weekend. So you'd imagine a lot of that will hinge on the 10 selection. And I guess if we get a Johnny Sexton versus Dan Bigger, then we might see a bit of kicking tennis on Sunday.
Yeah, and also, you know, interestingly, when Sexton is playing for Leinster, he still kicks to the corner, driving line out, more try, whatever, ball. So like, okay, is that better than going to the posts? Maybe not, I don't know. It kind of gets the game, you get 3 points, you move on. Hopefully it'll be a good game. I don't think it's going to be hard to call. Match point, what are you going for?
I mean, Tom Shanklin has gone for balls out predictions and he's named his winners and losers without seeing any teams. I'm not prepared to do it. But I think I'm going to back a Wales win.
Yeah, I think I am as well, although I quite like to look at the teams. Shall we move on?
Let's move on. So let's move on to Ireland then. So you've briefly touched on Ireland.
We need to talk about Ireland as well. I'd done the game.
I wanted to get your opinion because I think a headline that came out of their squad selection above anything else is this continued lack of inclusion, non-inclusion of John Cooney. And I know that you're a big fan of him as a player and as a person. So obviously it's a headline. He's playing very well. He's a form player in Ireland. How much are they missing by not picking him? How much of a point of difference to Conor Murray could he be coming off the bench at 50, 60 minutes?
I think it's a difficult one because the guy they brought in and his name's, oh my gosh, how has it slipped my mind? The Leinster 9.
Emerson Gibson-Park?
Yeah, that's the bad boy.
Bad boy name.
His speed of delivery and the pace of getting the ball away from breakdown was outstanding in his first game. It was poor in the second game in the Autumn Nations Cup against England, I think. But then actually, a couple of weeks ago, Conor Murray played, I'm not going to remember now, who did they play and they beat? And he was absolutely brilliant. He put so much pressure onto the opposition 9. His kicking was outstanding. And it reminded me of how good a player he is. I think, you know, I'm the first to say that he was out of form all of like most of last year when we were playing. And actually, if you look back to when he was playing his best rugby, Ireland were playing his best rugby in 2018 when they got that historic win over New Zealand, he was the point of difference. And as I say, a couple of weeks ago, apologies, my brain is a bit fried today. The game he played, I just thought he was outstanding. And it wasn't the high hanging box kicks. It was a variation. It was kicking back over the breakdown. It was kicking and keeping the ball alive. He was attacking the opposition nine. He caught them at the base a few times. So he just looked like a real fire in his belly. And maybe, you know, Gibson Park getting that selection in the autumn has been something that he needed to, like, you know, give him that fire again.
Yeah. Does Ireland's successes in this tournament hinge on the performances of their halfback pair?
Yeah, I think so. I think that they bring the team to life. As I say, I think without Josh Adams in the outside backs, that real kind of like ridiculous quality that you can't give space to, and if Conor Murray's kicking is good and they can kick him into a corner, and without someone like that, you know, it's not necessarily what they do when they've got the ball. It's how you change your game, because if you give them bad ball, they'll punish you. So it changes how the team plays against somebody, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think they are going to be massively influential. And it'll be good to see, hopefully, Sexton step up and get back to full form. And yeah, bring the game to life.
Okay, so let's go Scotland.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Next. The Hollywood magic is back. I'm yet to meet someone who's not a Finn fan. And quite frankly, if you're not a Finn fan, then you can't be my friend. I'm not friends with not Finn fans is my new policy. How integral. He is a good guy. How integral is he going to be to what they do this year? Or are we overhyping him?
I think that the thing is, for someone like Finn, is he is like just a lovely guy. Interviewed him with the big tackle and he was just lush. But I think from his perspective, he'll build in the tournament. And again, it's what he does to the opposition. It changes how you think, it changes what you do. You've got to defend slightly different because you know that he can pull out all sorts of different passes. I think the only part of his game where he comes a little bit unstuck is when he tries to force the offloads on when collisions haven't been won. And when he's playing for Racing, they've got a massive pack and he gets massive go forward. And so once you're in behind, and actually that's where if a defender is retreating and the collision, you win that collision. So therefore the offload is more than often on. Against England, it's going to be a huge ask for their forward pack to, that I'm sure they will come all guns blazing, but they won't win the collisions like he gets at club. So yeah. I think he will be brilliant. I think probably the biggest influence for me on Finn is actually having Stuart Hogg back. He played for Exeter at the weekend, played really well in the first half, and actually just having him, because he is an absolute rock star as well. And when he's on form, he is just incredible. So yeah, I think, I really hope that, I think it was on your interview in the before the autumn, Stuart said how he just wants all the Scotland boys to go out and have fun.
Yeah.
And actually, Finn completely embodies all of that, doesn't he? So, you know, so I just hope that they do go out and have fun. The pressure isn't on them. The pressure is on England.
Do you think that? I think on Sunday, Catherine Halev asked on Scrum 5, I'll keep reference it because I produced it, is this a watershed moment for Gregor Townsend, Scotland? Does it feel like they're promising a lot? Is this a Six Nations where they have to deliver perhaps third in the table or higher?
Yeah, but being third in the table doesn't necessarily mean beating England, who are going to come first in the table.
Oh, wow.
Hey! Oh, that was a good old facial. I think what they will want to do is perform. They might not necessarily win the game, but I think they'll want to hold their heads up and go come away with a performance. I think if they do that, then that's what people want. They don't want Scotland to roll over, which they're not going to. Actually, on the back of all of the Autumn Nations Cup stuff I did, Scotland were my team to watch. I didn't think about the fact that they were playing England at Twickenham in the opening round of the 150th anniversary, and it's quite a big occasion. So really pleased I picked them up in the autumn, but I meant it when because just didn't quite click. And when it did click, they were electric. And that was without Finn. Yeah. So you just kind of think, yeah, they could be in a good place. But I definitely don't think they're going in with the expectation to completely roll England over.
It's great to see Richie Gray back as well. Richie and Johnny Gray, of course, the ultimate social experiment. Send one kid to private school and one kid to state school. But they both end up playing for Scotland in the long run. So their parents have won at life there. Okay, then, should we talk England next? I want to start with a positive from me. Really like that they've gone with the vintage badge look on the jersey for this Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to be a bit positive and nice. I can be nice.
Geez.
So, yeah, I like that. I wouldn't wear one, but I just think it's a nice touch.
What other shirt would you wear other than Wales?
When I was a kid, I don't know if you'll remember this, but Cotton Traders magazine, obviously Fran Cotton's Cotton Traders, on the back page, you used to be able to buy replica rugby jerseys, like God knows what the trademark situation was in the 90s. For £10, and I basically had all of them apart from the England one. So obviously I had a Wales one first, and then I had a Springboks one because my cousins are South African by birth, and my cousin Tom had a proper Springboks jersey for Christmas, so I wanted to copy him. And then I had an Aussie one because I looked great in the green and gold. Then I got the All Blacks one, and it basically worked. I think I had a French one. Worked through all of them, but would not have the England one, obviously. Obviously.
So. You know why it is? It's because it's white and you spill your dinner, don't you?
Yeah.
And you don't want to stain it.
I will say, little tip, another little try-hards tip for people here is that Lidl Middle Isle are doing rugby stash at the moment. So if you do want to get your kids something a little bit cheaper to wear on Six Nations weekend,
Great. Get
down to the Lidl Middle Isle. England, let's be honest, they are going to steamroll the competition if they continue in the form they're in. But how much of a lack of game time are those Saracens boys going to be affected by?
Oh, I'm fascinated because they could come out and, like, you know, I played my best rugby when I'd been out for injury for like however many million months, hadn't really played anything, not really done any tackling, and then got in the dream team in the Langford Sevens. So you never really know. I think they'll go out and have a bit of fun. I think hopefully it's an interesting one. I think, you know who I feel that they will really, really miss is Joe Launchbury.
Yeah.
Wasps. If you watch Wasps when he's not there, they are a totally different team. Like, totally. And I know he's the captain, so I know he's got that. But the work he does, it's just, it's like one of those players that you don't realise what they do until they're gone. And he is someone that he was like ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous in the Autumn Nations Cup for England. And I think him being not being there in the engine room will be a big loss, considering they also don't have
Carl Sinclair, Billy Vunipola this weekend.
Yeah, so it's an interesting one. I think the good thing about
Joe is a quiet character, people underestimate how important he is.
He just looks so. I did years and years and years ago, I was the ambassador of Canterbury, and we did a photo shoot with the kit, and there was like a whole load of the boys. It was a bit weird. I looked like a bit of a mascot because I was so small compared to them. And Joe, they were like, hey, everybody, eyes open, smile. And Joe was like, my eyes are open. He's like, everyone always tells me to open my eyes. I was like, oh. He's so lush.
Sneaky giant, isn't he?
Yeah, he's just absolutely brilliant. He's so lovely, so unassuming. Just, we did some hospitality stuff together, and we wandered around, and he just was just such a kind man, just really lovely. Happy to say hello to everyone. He looked exhausted. He was like in the middle of rehab. But anyway, I think it will be a good game. I feel like Scotland are going to pull a really big performance out from England, and if they don't, England are going to look very silly. So I'm hoping that that means that there's some exciting rugby being played. And I don't think it will happen, but I just love the fact that West Country little Harry Randall is in the squad. I love it, like, so much.
Do you think that that'll be the highest scoring game of the weekend? I know that obviously we've got France, Italy, which could be a real kind of blowout from the French perspective, but you can only play what's in front of you. And it has looked like over the past few years, France and Scotland is up to each other's games, and they've had to bring a huge amount in attack because of what they're playing against. Do you think this will be the kind of rapturous game that we've seen over the past few years from these two teams?
I don't know. It's a really hard one to call. I think it could open up and it could be really exciting, or it could be real stalemate and they really go hammer and tong up front. And then it will be about emptying the bench at the right time. And I think the one thing about England is the depth that they have in the second row, back row. They make a big difference when they come on. The people that are finishing could be easily be starters. And I think, you know, they don't have Sam Underhill, but Jack Willis is on ridiculous club form. So, yeah. Should we move on?
Let's talk about the Italians, your boys, really, nowadays. Is this going to be another difficult year for them? There's some real smack talk from their coach that, you know, he thinks this is going to be a successful year and that they're going to take a scalp in the first round, which, you know, he obviously knows something we don't.
Well, they could do, because you never really know France, and they've got to travel, haven't they? But I actually think that this will be one of the highest scoring games. I think that, you know, France, Sean Edwards' defence is good, but they also, there's a lot of pressure. They put loads and loads and loads of heat on teams, but they also leak points. But then they, because they're so excited, they get the points, if that makes sense. Yeah. I think from an Autumn Nations Cup perspective, Italy scored some of the best team tries in the whole tournament. And if they click and they do, but then they did like ridiculous errors. I can't remember who they were playing in the autumn, but there was a yellow card. And in that, it was actually the France game. So they were in the game, it was super close. And then there was a yellow card for an intentional knock on. And that cost them 16 points in the game, because at that point they were frustrating the hell out of France. Like, France couldn't get over the line. They couldn't get over the line. I think that game, which I'm going to be commentating on, is going to be potentially the most exciting and open, which is cool. There's a lot of chat about then being one person. I think you told me there's one person over 50 caps.
One over 50 and three over 30 caps. That is incredibly inexperienced squad.
Yes and no. Like, they played together in the autumn, and actually new coach.
I guess a lot of them are playing club rugby together because of the strength of those two sides.
You know what? Watching the Pro 14, I've been... Benetton did it at the weekend. Zebre did it a couple of weeks before. They just don't finish opportunities. Like, they don't finish off the opportunities and they don't finish off the game. It's like bonkers. Like the winger for Benetton was literally over the line, but he had the ball in the wrong hand. So the defender just tackled him and turtled him. And it's just stuff like that. I'm like, and Zebre playing, can't remember, but they were playing someone. And they were like in the 22, loads and loads of pressure, loads and loads of pressure, just could not get over the try line. And it's those things where they've got to change at club rugby for it to be able to transfer into international. I don't know. I think that they'll play some good rugby. I hope that they build some fans because of the rugby they're playing and people don't go, oh, they haven't won a game for how many years. Look at them now, judge them now, judge them on their performance now. If they bring their A game and it's exciting and there's some wicked tries and you know what, they lose the game. But that's all I would want for Italy. I think there's too much chat about, oh God, they are a different side under Franco Smith. So,
anything can happen.
Move on.
So last but certainly not least, France. The headline is that Entomac won't be there for the opening couple of rounds. The likelihood is he'll be back by the end. Lucky Wales. However, Jalabert is there and in the 10 jersey, and he has been in fine fettle in the top 14 so far this season. Can we expect them to pick up where they left off in last year's tournament?
Yeah, he was class, wasn't he? He was a starting 10 in the final game of the Autumn Nations Cup. And obviously, they took it to England and he was brilliant. He's so expressionate. I can't wait to commentate on him because he's just so French and his name is class. he's brilliant. I'm intrigued because there's a lot of chat about, with French. Obviously, we know about them travelling anyway, but like teams not being able to go to France to play and all that type of stuff. So, are the players excited about the fact that they can play, or are they frustrated because they don't know what's being told to them by their federation? I think they're going to be great this tournament. I think that Entomac is brilliant, but I think Jalibert playing the first however many rounds actually will mean it will bring an even better Entomac out ready for Wales.
Get his jersey back. Virumi Vakatawa is missing for them. Is that kind of strike power going to affect them?
That was a very positive question, full of energy.
Sorry, I've got a kind of bone hanging out my nose. I panicked a little bit. And then do you ever get like you're worried you've got like a bug on your face?
Don't know, but you've got a green jumper. You've been wiping it.
Yeah, it's literally like snot. Sorry, go on. Do you think Virumi Vakatawa is going to be a loss in terms of strike power for France?
Can I just ask, do you tell all of the people that you interview, like, what, why, about your...
Tomorrow morning when I speak to Kenny Logan, I'll be like, oh, Kenny, I feel like I've got a bogey hanging out my nose. That's not. So I'm really looking forward to seeing the inside of him and Gabby's house on Zoom tomorrow.
Yeah.
Good. Go on, Kenny, give me a tour. I just want to see the kitchen.
They've got a lovely gym.
Have they? How do you know? Well, I'm not friends with Kenny and Gabby Logan.
I follow Gabby on social media and she's off training. All right then, don't
make out that you're like tight with the Logans now.
Definitely didn't. I just said that they've got a nice gym.
Yeah, well.
I do know them actually. I know Kenny probably, I don't know. I probably know Kenny more than Gabby because of Wasps Legends. And he gets absolutely abused at the Wasps Legends dinners. It's hilarious. Vakatawa, right, question, good stuff. Will he make a difference? He would do if he was playing. I think that kind of centre, that 13 shirt for lots of the teams is one that's quite uncertain. There's no real person. I know we kind of didn't touch on it, but in Scotland, like who's going to wear the 13 shirt? England, there's no one really owning it. Henry Slade played 12, weird, in the autumn. Wales, who's owning the 13 shirt? Is there anybody?
It's Jonathan Davis's shirt, but he had some nice touches against the Blues the other week, but he doesn't look like Foxy of
a little while ago, let's say.
Oxitron. Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see who they bring in there. I'm kind of over talking about rugby now. Is there anything else?
Do we have our little charity corner?
Yeah.
For me this week, I want to give a shout out to Pontyclean Rugby Football Club, who are currently doing a fundraiser for a former player of theirs, Jonathan Hobbs. He is basically in need of a new wheelchair, and they're looking to raise £10,000 for him. They're nearly at halfway towards the target, but it would be great. They're an absolutely fantastic club. Their men's and women's sections, absolutely amazing. Been to a number of fantastic 18th birthday parties in their clubhouse as well. So, and I often say it's the best clubhouse in Wales. So let's get behind Pontyclean. Let's get behind Jonathan Hobbs, and let's get him some new wheels.
Yeah. They see me rolling. We also had a message on our social channels from Roslyn Park Slingbacks, who the ladies team. Yeah, solid name. They are doing some amazing work for the NHS. So hashtag rugby for NHS, and they are providing
rugby hampers. For the word or for the number? For the number it is, I think.
Yeah, for the number. Right. We'll be putting out a social post anyway, but just a little shout out. They're collecting hampers to deliver to NHS staff. I know that lots of, like, I think rugby clubs have been getting behind them and doing their bit. So, yeah, I think as a team building kind of activity with your club and doing something that is really, really valued by people that are working incredibly hard, it's just savage, isn't it? You know, full well with Sophie, it's just relentless, isn't it, at the moment? So yeah, I just a little shout out to them, because I just think they're doing a really good job. They've got a great name down the road.
It's a great name, like the shoe.
Thanks so much, everybody. Do your match pint.
Do your match pint. Try hard. Get on the league.
Enjoy the weekend. We will, and we'll see you next week for some more rugby.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.